saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Welcome you back. It is another episode of Inside Boxing Live presented by PPV.com. It is Dan Cadobio. It is Chris Algieri. 2 times a week for your viewing and listening pleasure. The boxing world doesn't sleep. Chris Algieri certainly doesn't sleep, even though I don't see any bags under his eyes. He looks pretty refreshed. Training fighters, I see you on Instagram. Like, what's going on? Are you a trainer now, Chris? Are you
no.
Chris Algieri, trainer, author, promoter? Add that to the list.
Do not flood my DMs, everyone, these fighters, because people used to see me training my nephew and they'd be like, oh, yeah, I want to train. I'm like, I don't train fighters. I decided to help a fighter, a friend of mine in a gym down here. He's very good. He's very good. I've sparred with him. I've been in the gym with him for years. And he's looking to take that next step. And, you know, I'm close with his father. His name is Dominique Francis. His nickname is Trap. Kid can fight. Haitian kid from down here in Florida, Florida grown. He's been in a ton of camps with Teofimo Lopez. They came up together, and they're just having trouble breaking through to that next step. And you know, they asked me if I could help with some guidance, and that's all it is. It's just guidance.
So
you're
dipping the toe into the training world.
It was more from an advisory position. But if I'm going to put your name into the mix with some of these promoters, I got to see how you work. And I know how he fights, but I wanted to just make a few adjustments on things that I saw when he was sparring. And, so I jumped in the ring with him yesterday. We were in the gym at the same time. I'm like, all right, come on. Let's work. I got some ideas.
I liked it, bro. You as a if you wanted to be a trainer, you could be a trainer.
Yeah. 100%. 100%.
But that's like a full-time job.
Yeah, it's extremely taxing and time consuming. I coach wrestling after high school. I'm a teacher. I'm good at that. And but dude, I hated when my guys lost. It was emotionally draining watching
you can't control it. You're not in there. So you're watching just like we are.
When you've been someone like me who's been there and won and absorbed all of the positive energy from winning, and also been there and lost and absorbed all the negativity of losing, to then go and dip your toe in the water again. I don't understand how former fighters turn trainers do that.
Yeah, there's a lot of former fighters turn trainers. Buddy McGirt, Robert Garcia,
Freddie Roach.
Yeah, and they're usually from the same ilk. But you know, Freddie didn't reach the levels of Mikey Garcia, Robert Garcia, or Buddy McGirt for that matter. Yeah. He was more of like a glorified club fighter. Who else? A lot of the guys. Derek James.
Buddy's one of the higher level guys. John David Jackson was a world champion.
Then you have guys like Ben Davison, who just never fought.
Yeah.
It's like me becoming a trainer. Like, he played serious hockey. Balls. Yeah. He's a football guy. He's a soccer guy. I've interviewed him before. This episode is brought to you, and every episode is brought to you by PPV.com. It is the premier destination for live events on pay-per-view, not just boxing. AEW Wrestling. And right now, PPV.com is running a pretty cool giveaway, giving away 3 pay-per-views for the rest of the year: AEW Wrestle Dream, AEW Full Gear, and AEW World's End. All you have to do is sign up for the PPV.com mailing list. Enter your email. If you are a professional wrestling fan right now, you can get some free pay-per-views for the rest of the year. AEW Wrestling, of course, will be back boxing wise with Tank Davis and Lamont Roach, which will be a big talking point on this episode because both fighters have confirmed it. Gervonta Davis will be fighting Lamont Roach December 14th in Houston, Texas. And of course, with any Gervonta Davis fight, Chris, there are good, there's bad, there's criticism, there's people that's going to love it, there's people that's going to hate it. People that say, I'm not going to watch it. There's people that are going to watch it, and there's going to be people that are going to go. I mean, this fight is going to be in Houston, Texas, where Gervonta Davis has a presence there. There's a lot to digest here. with the opponent and Lamont Roach. Your initial thoughts with Davis Lamont Roach.
So I've been hearing about this for long before it was announced.
Insider Chris Algieri.
Yeah. Pro Box TV, we work with Lamont. We called his last fight, co-promoted that show. And I mean, it's a great opportunity for Lamont. You know, he's going up a weight from what he's a 130 pounder. He's going up to 35 to fight Tank, but Tank's not a big 35 pounder. Big puncher, absolutely, but not a big guy for 135. So in terms of Lamont, great opportunities. Gets to fight for another world title and another weight class. Quasi reminds me of my move from, you know, fighting Pravatnikov and then going right up to welterweight to fight Manny Pacquiao. Not quite the same scenario, but there are some shades of it. But going up in weight, getting opportunity to fight for another world title, fighting a big name guy, going to Houston, which is a big market. There's going to be a lot of eyes on him, a lot of attention. And he looked really good his last fight. So, you know, if Lamont can carry that momentum in terms of what he's been working on into the ring and put up a good performance, you know, even possibly win, which is a long shot. It's a great opportunity for him. But in terms of Tank, initially I was like, well, why are we fighting 30 pounders again? Why? Especially in such a deep weight class. 135 is a good weight class, man. There's a lot of viable guys out there, contenders that he could be fighting. And then I think as a fighter, I'm thinking about these other contenders and I'm like, why does this guy get to skip the line and jump into our weight class and get this money fight against a named guy? It's boxing doing boxing.
Right. Right. And we'll just get right into it. People are just not going to like this fight. No. Gervonta Davis, the main criticism of Gervonta at this point in his career is not about his abilities. I think everyone knows this guy can punch through a wall. Got great boxing ability. He's an attraction. He's got everything. But what you can do is poke holes in his resume. You can poke holes in his the same type of fighter that he keeps on taking on. Guys coming up from weight classes. Guys who really don't have much of a shot. You know, big-time underdogs. Lamont Roach falls into that category. He's coming up in weight from 130. He is going to be a massive underdog in this fight. He does not have a huge profile. Damn good fighter, though. Boxing hardcores know who Lamont Roach is because he's been around.
Big amateur background, good pro,
huge amateur
champion,
background in the DC area, right? Fighting Tank in the amateurs, big time DC guy. There was talks of this fight happening in DC, but you know, here's the thing with Tank: he's going to sell out pretty much everywhere he goes. Houston, Texas is going to sell out for this Tank fight. There's talks of the Charlo brothers, or at least one of them. Jamal Charlo and maybe Boo Boo Andrade getting into a squabble inside that ring that will be their Houston guys. So I know there was talk of, hey, put this fight in D.C. Yeah, okay, I guess it makes sense a little bit business-wise, but the gate's going to be huge. It's just whether or not this performs on pay-per-view. And I'm never going to tell you to buy a pay-per-view. I am going to tell you to buy a pay-per-view. I'm not going to tell you not to buy. Yeah, literally, that's like part of our job. But I'm never going to tell you not to buy a pay-per-view. That's up to you to make that decision at home or with your buddies. But there is a faithful for Gervonta Davis out there that are going to pretty much tune in for everything. If they stack the undercard, which I think they'll do, this should do decent business. But Chris, you talk about, why isn't he fighting some of these lightweights? Why isn't he fighting some of these names at lightweight? He tried, man. Like, I'm going to go through it right now. Lomachenko turned down the fight, famously. I do not want to fight for the rest of 2024. I don't have the motivation. I'm done. When this thing was at the one-yard line for Lomachenko and Gervonta Davis was supposed to be this November, Lomachenko says, I'm out. Shakur Stevenson flirted with it. Free agent. Goes to Matchroom. The Saudi dollars are talking to Shakur. He has a hand injury. He's fighting Zepeda in February. Zepeda. This guy says, I'm done for the year. My wife's pregnant. I'm not fighting this year. He turns around. Now he's fighting Tevin Farmer, which is nasty work. Tevin Farmer versus Zepeda in Riyadh is nasty. That's for him to say, I'm not fighting anyone. I'm done for the year to go fight Tevin Farmer. I understand it from a Golden Boy standpoint, but Zepeda.
It's also money.
Pretty much,
It's Riyadh money.
I get it. And Jose Zepeda is the biggest example.
Listen, dude,
promotion.
I'm retired. If they throw Riyadh money at me, I might come out of retirement. I get it. I'm not fighting for the rest of the year. I'm not fighting for the rest of my life. Oh, Riyadh money. Yes, I will fight.
I don't blame him because if there's Zepeda is the biggest example of a promotion protecting an investment. Mm-hmm. Golden Boy doesn't have a lot of fighters, but they have Zepeda. And this guy is ranked number one or two in lightweight in every organization and is crowd fan friendly and has some huge fights. They have to be very smart with Zepeda, Golden Boy. So if they're going to serve him up to Shakur in February, right? All right, let's get one last payday out of this guy against Tevin Farmer in Riyadh, where we're all going to make a fortune. Understand it, but Zepeda is out of the mix. Then you go and look at some of the other Baranchuk, too. That was never an option. That guy never has come up in any talks with any of these guys, the other champion at 135. Like, I don't know what that guy's even doing. Then you got 140, Chris. You got Jose Venezuela, who's rematching.
Dude, Ryo makes so much sense. Like,
right, that was the discussion for a while. And that one like kind of went out the window because Venezuela says, I'm going to rematch Pitbull. I'm going to stay at 140. I don't want to fight for the rest of the year. And you have Teofimo Lopez and Haney, which, you know, they're at 140. And those fights aren't matriculating. Those are mega fights. Those aren't happening on quick notice like this. And he's also at 140. Like, why does Tank have to go to 140 right now? He is the guy. You come to him at 135. So those are some of the names.
Dan, no.
What?
You're giving this life. Don't do that. Don't do that. These aren't the fights we want, man.
I understand that, but like if you just go through, you've sat down with promoters and you've sat down with managers and you've gone over the realistic options. I just went through every big name at 135. They're just no one available. So where do you go from here? Like where does PBC when they sit down Al Haymon? And they sit down with Tank and they look at the landscape. And I just read through everyone. Okay. Do we go to Raymond Murataya? Yeah. Do we go through Keyshawn Davis?
Not
Andy
Keyshawn,
Cruz?
But...
Sam Noakes? Those are the other names at 135.
Murataya, 100%. That fight makes perfect sense to me.
That's one guy. But I would say Lamont Roach has a bigger profile than Raymond Murataya.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's Lamont's a world champion, but you got to look past the Lamont doesn't have a big profile either. He just has a title, but it's in another weight class, man. And Lamont never even talked about moving up. You know, like when you pull these guys up, just like Pacquiao did to me, when you just pull these guys up, like I don't know, it taints it, and the fans know that, they understand that, so. I know they're going to bill it as champion versus champion, but people can look past the numbers and be like.
But do you agree that, like, I just went through the whole, those are like legit names, and those are also legit scenarios. It's not like I'm making stuff up, like, oh, he ducked. He's scared. Like,
oh, yeah. Well, no, people are literally ducking him and are not
in
stepping
in ways.
With Davis. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I feel like Davis.
There's a lot of ways to duck. The art of the duck is a. You should write a book, Dan. You should write that book, The Art of the Duck. And you should,
one
you
chapter,
should,
one you chapter should, in your book.
You should discuss, you know, how many different options fighters have in order to quote unquote duck another fighter.
Well, Loma just was like, "Hey, I'm Lomachenko, 36. I'm just don't want to do it. And if you guys want to call me a duck, you want to call me this, that, and the other, go right ahead. Maybe I'll fight him next year. Maybe I won't. So that was a straight up duck."
I love the honesty. He doesn't even care. Call me a
Pretty
duck
much.
Or whatever. I don't care.
He has that status. He has that credit.
He's earned it. He's earned it.
He's got that credit score. Shakur, I mean, you could point a finger at Shakur and say, buddy, you are just yapping
Cordina.
Nonstop. Yeah. What?
He was going to fight Cordina. Another blown up 30-pounder. So that's amazing. Imagine if that fight was still happening. We got Shakur Stevenson fighting Joe Cordina for 130. You've got Tank Davis fighting Lamont Roach from 130. Why don't we make the 30-pounders fight each other, and then the 35-pounders the fight fight each other? Amazing! It's amazing how boxing works.
But Shakur was yapping to anyone that would listen, tweeting 400 tweets a day when he was becoming a free agent. I could sign anywhere. I could fight anyone. I want that big fight. I'm 27. He goes and signs with Eddie. Makes things more complicated. Could have easily signed with PBC. Goes with Eddie. Riyadh season. Cordina. Zepeda. So point the finger at Shakur here. It takes two to tango. Everything goes to Tank. I understand that because he is the guy. But guys like Loma saying straight up no. Shakur going to a different promoter and making things more complicated. Zepeda, what he did was, I get it, but like, come on, you could fight Tank too. Baranchuk, I'm just not even going to think about
Zepeda,
him.
Yeah, but with Zepeda, I'm going to blame Oscar. I'm not going to blame him. Yeah. He's a fighter, and he's a Mexican fighter. He's a Mexican warrior. I'm sure he wants all the smoke. You know, but you know, Oscar is protecting his investment because Oscar doesn't have that many stars, and so he needs to protect every guy he's got. And Zepeda is one of the bigger ones that he has.
Right, and then the 140 guys. Where do you stand here? Does Tank, should he have gone to 140 now because no one at 135 wants to fight him? Should he make that jump to, or have Venezuela go down to 135? Venezuela didn't seem.
No, I think he should have went to 140. People. I think
Tank should have went to 140.
Yeah, he's done it. He's done. Just jump in and jump out like you did last time. Just get in, get an opportunity, because the fans would appreciate that more. It's like, ooh, he's taking right. a risk. He's going up, but it's not a risk because the guy punches like a cruiserweight. Yes, you can sell that more. And listen, I'm not knocking. I like Lamont Roach, and I actually think this fight can be good. I think not necessarily good, but I think Lamont has a real chance because he's slick enough. He's shown a really good chin, and Gervonta falls behind in fights. You know, he falls behind when he starts just thinking about his power.
Yeah.
So the fight is not uninteresting. I actually mm-hmm. think it is. I'm talking from a fan perspective, what they're looking at when they see this fight, not boxing insiders like us.
Yeah, we'll get to the Roach fight in a second because I do think it's going to be interesting. And I found this is like the fun part of the job is a fight gets announced and we have to – I'm trying to figure out ways – how is this going to be intriguing? How is this going to be fun? How can this be interesting? But if like 140, I could have seen Tank going for a Puelo. Big guy.
Yeah.
Has a belt with PBC. Like, he's not fighting Matias, doesn't have a belt. He's not fighting Paro. He's not fighting.
That's a dangerous fight, though. It's tough because of the size. And Puelo, really impressed me in that Russell fight. That was, he looked very crafty.
Definitely. It would be a huge risk.
Dealing with a puncher. So it's,
and would Tank get the credit for it?
No. It's a risky, exactly. It's a risky fight with low reward. Yeah.
Risky fight, low reward. We're talking about a fight to end the year for Davis.
And you know what, Dan? You've turned me around. Bring on Lamont Roach. Let's go.
I'm happy for Lamont Roach. This guy seems
I am
like,
too. He's a great guy. Great guy. That's I like I mean. Lamont a lot. Him and his father are awesome. And his little brother can fight, man. Have you seen his brother?
I have not.
He's like another 7 or 8-time world champion. National champion, excuse me. He can fight. He just made his pro debut on that DC show we did for Pro Box.
These DC guys, man. The Russells, the Roaches.
They're all in the same gym, too, all these guys. We had a card full of everyone from the Lamont Roach Senior Gym, and every one of these guys could fight.
Damn. I was looking forward to going to DC. It's something different. And I think there's a really boxing-rich area that doesn't get any real play. That doesn't really get a lot of big fights. But ultimately, they chose Houston, which is another big boxing city, which should be fun. You get your cowboy hat,
I guess we're going to Houston. They got good barbecue.
Don't forget your assless chaps.
I left them at my condo. I'm going to, you know, oh. I just, I got to go.
Guess I'll bring mine. Those. Maybe Lampley will bring his as well. That is a visual that I'm ending the show. I don't want to think about Lampley and Ashley's chap.
I'm going to say Jim in the 80s and early 90s almost certainly had those. Did the parties that guy probably went to? Oof,
dude, driving around, we drove from our hotel in LA for the Crawford fight. We drove from our hotel to downtown Hollywood, about a 40-minute drive for the press conference, and Lampley is L.A. This is where the guy made his bones, where he lived, was a young, handsome, top sportscaster when sportscasters were stars in the late 80s, early 90s. And he's pointing at different places. I used to go to that club. I used to go to that party. And just unbelievable stories from Lampley in the SUV on our way to the – that's one of the coolest perks of working with Lampley at PPV.com is just – when we're all just sitting around, like waiting for an interview or just hanging out, he'll just blurt out a story that will blow your mind. And it'll be like 15 minutes and he will enunciate.
Well, he's the best storyteller in the world.
Unbelievable. He'll enunciate.
Historically, the best storyteller ever.
He will tell you his story as if there are cameras on him. Like he will be broadcasting. His voice will be bellowing throughout the media room where it's not just two guys just chatting. Like, he thinks that there's a microphone. He always thinks there's a camera and a microphone on. And it's amazing. That's Jim Lampley. But going back, Chris, it's tough for Davis. He's not going to get any sympathy because I put this out on social media and you have the people, I'm not buying, I'm not going. When's he going to fight someone? And a lot of it is like, we talked about the good credit that Lomachenko has. Mm-hmm. Davis doesn't have that benefit of the doubt. It's a lot of people saying, well, I'm still waiting on him to fight someone. If he had fought a tougher opponent earlier on in his career, which I don't exactly 100% agree with, then I would give him a break for fighting Lamont Roach. But that's the thing with Davis. He's such a lightning rod. Like, people forget that he fought Pedraza
when Pedraza was still... Also, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. He's making the money. Listen, guys, the people say, I'm not going to buy it. You're going to buy it. You're either going to go or you're going to buy it. Because he's electrifying. He's one of the biggest draws in the sport. He's a very exciting fighter. The guy does numbers. You can't fight the numbers. The guy sells. The guy sells pay-per-views. The guy puts butts in seats. It's going to happen. And he doesn't care because his check clears every time. So
yeah.
We could talk all we want. He doesn't care. He's going to go handle business. It's going to be a fun fight. It is what it is.
He's in a different stratosphere than some other guys. He's operating in a whole different ballpark.
He is one of the very few guys who has told Turki Alo-Sheik, I don't need your money. I'm good where I'm at. He's in a different level.
He told him, I want 4 Lamborghinis or 2 Lamborghinis, which was awesome.
which was awesome.
It was pretty badass.
That was like him like throwing it over his shoulder. Like, yeah, you know what? You want to fight 4 Lamborghinis? Send them to my garage. 4 immediately. Of them. Not 3, not 2, yeah. 4.
But you're right. He is going to, they're going to plug in a Lamont Roach type. They're going to put it in a sexy city. It's going to sell out. He's going to knock you out. He's going to backflip, rinse, repeat. But, you know, there was this notion, like, you know, this new, mature Tank Davis. I got to see him up close and personal and talk to him. I can sense it. I can feel it. Turning 30, wants these big fights, like wanted Lomachenko. Didn't happen. You know, wants the bigger fights. Did fight a Ryan Garcia, which is starting to age a little bit better after what Ryan did to Devin Haney. The Pedraza fight, he's not going to get credit for. The Barrios fight, he's not going to get credit for. Some of these other wins have been pretty good. It's just not like he's not fighting the biggest names, and I still think he will. It's just, you know, the circumstances of the business and them a quick turnaround for December. So therefore, Lamont Roach. Who is Lamont Roach? Became a champ in 2023 with a split decision win over Hector Luis Garcia, who Tank famously knocked out. He has one loss on his record. Came in 2019 to Jamel Herring, split decision loss. He's 5'7". Yeah, good fight. He's 5'7", so he's going to be bigger than Tank. He has a 68-inch wingspan, which is bigger than Tank. Never been knocked down in 172 career rounds, so that's interesting. If you're a boxing fan, you know Lamont Roach. He's a boxer puncher, and he doesn't have a lot of knockouts. I think he has 25 fights, 10 knockouts. He's a technician in there. He probably will steal rounds early. He probably will bank rounds early. And then ultimately the pressure just going to become too much.
Yeah. I know Lamont personally. He's come down to Plant City for a few of our fights, interviewed him a bunch of times, called his fight, his last one, called the Jamel Herring fight. Shown vast improvement since that night with Jamel Herring. He just kept his hands in his pockets way too long that night. He actually rocked Jamel really bad. I think it was the last round.
Yeah,
Yeah. And I don't think – did he go down? I don't know. He rocked him bad.
He doesn't have a lot of knockouts.
Roach. No, but he is a respectful puncher. He's the kind of guy that you're going to respect his power enough. But he's very solid. And you mentioned that never been knocked down. And I brought that up as a reason why this is an interesting fight. He's got a good chin. He's never been down. He's, you know, shown solid defense, shown a good, you know, punch resistance. And you got Tank, man, like I said, man, Tank falls behind. You know, we're going to see Tank Davis's boxing IQ put to the test, you know, against Lamont. And I think that's a cool aspect of this fight. And can Tank close the show the way that he always does? You know, against a guy who's got a good chin and a guy who's got a good boxing IQ and against a guy who is a legit world champion now. So there are a lot of aspects of this fight that actually interest me. I don't hate the fight. I don't hate it at all. It's not the fight we want per se, but based on everything that you've said in terms of the other fighters that are around in the weight class and who he's actually fighting, I don't hate it. I really don't.
So Davis gets a spectacular knockout. It does, goes along all the highlight reels on Instagram, all the non-sports.
That it doesn't matter who you're fighting. If you do that, right, then, you know.
Then it makes it more tolerable, and it's most likely going to end that way. That's what, it makes a Davis fight fun. That's December 14th, Houston, Texas. December 14th is the loose date right now. It was maybe the 21st that we're talking about, but that's also Fury versus Usyk 2. And I would really, you know, let's not have two of these in one day. Like, come on, spread them out a little bit so we, as content creators, can cover them. Because that's what they're thinking about, right? No, that's not what they're thinking about. I'm looking forward to it. Davis and Roach, you might not like it, but as we get closer, I think we'll be tuning in. This weekend, fights, before we get to our voicemails, Janabek and Nick Ball. Not fighting each other, separate cards. Janabek fighting Andre. About
50 pounds between the two.
Yeah, height. Nick Ball.
40-something pounds between the two.
5'2".
And about 12 inches in height, because I think he's 5'11", actually, is Janabek.
Well, Nick Ball's 5'2". Which is hilarious.
Yeah. One of the shortest world champions in the world today. Willie Pep was not short? No, was he?
Willie Pep just sounds like a short man. Want me to look it up right now?
I feel like he was taller, though.
Willie Pep,
probably 5'5".
Will of the Wisp? 229 and 11.
Awesome. They're making a movie about him, apparently. It looks good. I saw a trailer for it.
Who's playing Willie Pep?
I could not tell you.
5'5". Sorry, Willie.
I got it. I said that. 5'5".
Nick Ball, 5'2". Nick Ball is fighting Ronnie Rios. It is Nick Ball's first defense of his featherweight title that he won off of Raymond Ford. I love the featherweight division. I think it is low-key the best division in boxing, because you have names like Nick Ball, you have names like Lee Wood, you have Angelo Leo, you have Ray Vargas, you have Luis Alberto Lopez, who we probably won't see for a while. You have Rafael Espinosa, Brandon Figueroa. I mean, this is loaded. This isn't your division where 1 through 4 is good. This is solid 1 through 10, and then you have Inoue looming over it. Nick Ball fighting Ronnie Rios. You never know the featherweights. We saw that with Angelo Leo and knocking out Luis Alberto Lopez. We saw what Rafael Espinosa emerging on the scene and beating Robesi Ramirez. So Nick Ball could be upset. Ronnie Rios is, this dude's a grizzled. It's a grizzled vet at 34.
Grizzled. That's a good word for Ronnie.
I like the fight. Do you like it?
I do like it. We had Ronnie made his return on Pro Box TV Air. He looked fantastic. He busted off his ring rust quick. He's a come get you guy too. You got two guys who are going to meet in the center of the ring and they're going to bang. We got to see how crafty and savvy that rugged Ronnie Rios can be, because listen, at 34, trying to deal with the youthful exuberance and intensity that Nick Ball brings, that's a big ass
34,
man.
That weight
he's ancient. He's ancient for that weight. And he's been in some tough fights against really, really good fighters. So, you know, we'll see, but I think it's going to be a fun fight for, as long as it lasts. But it just depends on how savvy can Ronnie be. Great guy, by the way. We interviewed him on Pro Box. He's awesome. Really, really nice guy.
Nick Ball, minus 1,600 favorite, according to DraftKings.
How much?
Minus 1,600.
Yikes.
No one is giving Ronnie Rios a shot. Nick Ball by decision, plus 360. Nick Ball by KO, minus 400. Oh, the over-under is 7.5. That is, I think, being aired on ESPN Plus. I could be wrong. It's definitely got picked up by somebody. Janabek, the middleweight champion with Top Rank, who did not make weight in his last fight, made weight earlier today when we record this, is fighting his mandatory Andre Mikhailovich, who has 94 career rounds, yet is a mandatory. I don't know where Janabek finds these mandatory opponents. This might be one of the worst mandatory opponents we've seen in a very long time. I'm not really jazzed up for this fight. Haven't been jazzed up for a Janabek fight in quite a while. Guy has a lot of talent, but he's just in a division where no one wants to fight him. No one wants to fight. Although I think Janabek Shiraz would be pretty damn fun. Lara and Adames are the other champions, and I mean,
I like Adames. I like Adames a lot.
Like Adames too. Is he going to fight anybody? Are they going to put him in there with Lara? They're both with PBC. Unify. I don't need to see Lara.
Easy fight to make, and I don't think Lara makes it out of that fight.
I don't think so either. I think Adames is pretty ferocious.
And he's a beast. He's a beast.
And Lara, we saw Lara fight Danny Garcia. That was one of the worst fights I've seen in like the last 10 years. Like
that, I've seen sparring sessions better than that.
Bro, that arena during that fight, I've never seen an arena not give a shit more about a fight.
Yep.
It was right before the Canelo one fight. It was a co-main event. And everyone went to the bathroom. Everyone got their food. Everyone got ready for Canelo. It was like almost.
They should have opened the card with that, honestly. That was not.
Plant McCombie.
That wasn't a good fight. That wasn't a good fight on paper, let alone in actuality.
No, it was bad. But I don't need to see Lara, so get him out of the. I mean, have a great career, but just don't need to see him anymore. But if I do need to see him fight, he needs to fight Adames, and Janabek should fight Shiraz. So, I mean, they're actually. The middleweight division actually has a little bit of life.
There's talent.
A little bit of life. Some talent here.
We got to see how Janabek looks, though, man, because that not making weight last time, that was a big red flag for me, and he hasn't looked that good lately. So I'm kind of thinking it's been the weight. He's had a weighty issue for a while, and that's maybe why he's not performing to the level that we saw early on. I called a bunch of his fights on top rank cards, and dude, he was super impressive, but lately not so much, and he hasn't really stepped up that much.
He made weight today, and he doesn't tweet. He has someone tweeting for him, but the person that tweets for him is like trying to tweet in like his voice. It's like a Golovkin Max, big drama show. It's just like, who said I can't make weight? And it's him on the scale. It's like, no one said you could make weight. You just simply didn't make weight.
Literally, historically, you did not make weight.
Right, and we were all questioning, can you do it again? And he did. So he's only a minus, wait a second, he's a minus 700 favorite. I know that's a lot, but like.
It's still a lot. it's a lot.
Still a lot, but like your boxing brain, when it comes to betting, like there's huge minus 1600, like Berlanga, yep. Minus 1600, like Ronnie Rios.
You know, it is probably because funny things happen in Australia. Some very, very strange decisions come out of Australia. And we don't know a whole lot about this kid. And Janabek hasn't looked great lately. So there is red flags for concern, or there.
Yeah.
What was the saying, you know?
I like that saying. It sounded right to me. Janabek by decision, plus 400. So if you think that a lot of his fights end in stoppage. I'll say that about Janabek.
Yeah.
Janabek by knockout, minus 270. Maybe if you're going to bet this, you can go for some round betting. If you don't, you know, some, let's see. I like group betting. Do they have that here? Round props. I like to find, you think it's a 1 through 6 fight or it's a 7 through 12? 7 through 12 is plus 190. Janabek to win in rounds, second half. Janabek to win in rounds, 1 through 6 is plus 155. Those are the big fights this weekend, or the bigger fights this weekend. Next week is Beterbiev Bivol. Doesn't get any bigger than that, in my opinion. It's here. It's getting closer and closer. Let's...
We're going to do a big breakdown on that one.
Huge breakdown. Breakdown of all breakdowns. It's time to get to our voicemails. I'm really excited. We got a bunch of voicemails this week. Thank you to everyone that tunes in and calls the number. You can call us at, I have the number right here. Got a couple weird ones too, but we like those too. 631-403-0859 is the voicemail number. It's always open. Call us at any time. Chris will answer sometimes.
Never, literally never. I don't answer my own phone, let alone this phone.
Have a conversation with you. Let's get right into it.
Hey, Chris.
Can you hear this, Chris?
Hey, Chris Van Perry here. In prep for the Beterbiev Bivol fight, I've been studying a lot of Bivol recently, and I know there's a synonymous thing that he's a great defensive fighter. But I look at his defense, and it's primarily predicated on his in and out footwork. You know, he's not someone that really blocks and parries well. He's not someone that really bobs and weaves well. He's not someone that rolls with punches. And usually great defensive fighters have multiple layers to their defense, like a Floyd Mayweather, a Pernell Whitaker, even a Canelo. So is it safe to say Bivol's a great fighter, but one-dimensional in his way, in his approach? Just curious. Thanks.
That's the types of calls that we get, Chris.
Yeah, very, very technical stuff. Perry. So I was actually just literally just going over this yesterday in the gym yesterday. I was talking about the three lines of defense. So your first line of defense is your feet, right? Your distance control, your range manipulation. Your second line of defense is your upper body rhythm, your movement, your shoulder rolling. Your last line of defense is your blocking, whether it's on your gloves or your elbows. And generally, if you don't want to be touched, you shouldn't be touched. You know, at the end of the day, you want them to miss. The further you make them miss, obviously by your feet, the less chance you have to counter. But because of that pendulum step that Bivol is able to master, has mastered his ability to change range in and out, combined with his length and reach, makes him very, very difficult and a very good counterpuncher, even though he uses his feet to evade his opponent's offense. So I still consider him a very good defensive fighter. I mean, look at the numbers. But I do not consider him one-dimensional because he's able to dominate position because of that. And both guys are actually position dominant fighters. They tend to put their opponents in positions where they're in the weaker stance. It's going to be curious to see who wins the battle of the real estate in this fight. If Better BF can close the distance with his balance and put Bivol in a position to be able to hit him. And then Bivol, is he going to be able to get Better BF to reach and fall over his ski, so to speak? So very, very interesting matchup. But I don't think either guy is one-dimensional.
Yeah, I mean, Bivol's, by the numbers, he's one of the best defenders in boxing, gets hit with 12%. His last fight, he got hit a lot. And I think it was by design.
You know, he went forward with his hands up.
He was in the pocket way more. Because I heard a lot of criticism, like, oh my God, he's getting hit so much. He's getting hit a lot more. Is he declining? This is not good heading into the Better BF fight. But I think Bivol finally listened and heard some criticisms and was going for the knockout. So he stood and traded more. He stood in the pocket. He took more risks. But this guy, it is the footwork that when I think of Bivol's defense at first. But I feel like there's still a lot left in the tank with him in terms of the other aspects of defense. You know, the upper body movement, I still think he's got that. But that footwork, man, I don't see it going away anytime soon. It's still there. And that's what's going to be really interesting in this fight with Better BF is, like, is Better BF going to be able to find him? Better BF has found everyone. There's 100% knockout rate. Can Better BF find Bivol? I cannot wait. And I'm so jazzed up for that fight. Even that little, just talking about Bivol's defense, just got me all ready to go. Let's play the next one.
Hey guys, first of all, I love you guys' show. Keep doing what you're doing. My first question is, what do you guys think about the potential rematch that's being talked about? Do you know Espinosa versus Robesi Ramirez? What do you guys think about that fight, the rematch? And then also, how come people are not giving Canelo any credit for fighting these young guys? Not every young lion can beat the old monsters, and Canelo was doing that when he was young. And now that he's the old monster, he's taking on these young lions, and they can't beat him. So give him credit for that. And hope you guys have a great day. As always, keep the good work.
I love the little laugh he had there. clearly a Canelo fan.
And a very Mexican-heavy questions. So
Mexican accent, Mexican heavy questions,
which I respect. We love Mexican fighters, Mexican fans.
They're the best. The lifeblood of the sport. Canelo is not going to listen. Canelo's just, it's very simple. He would get credit for fighting these younger guys. Everyone just wants him to fight Benavidez. That's it. Yeah. That's the answer.
That's it.
Like, we're not going to give you credit, or we're not going to take away credit from you, Canelo, just until you fight Benavidez.
Yeah.
Until then, these other arguments and these other points about your career, they're just whatever. They go out the wayside.
I actually had this argument with Paulie on air when I was like, listen, he's fighting these younger, bigger guys. Berlanga was 200 pounds in the ring. You know, like,
well,
you got to give him some respect for that. He is taking on these younger, big guys.
He replied to our Instagram post. I posted that he was 193 on fight night. Berlanga replied, cap, all caps.
Okay. Well,
so he wasn't 193.
He looked 210. Yeah. So I don't care.
Imagine he was like, cap, I was actually 215. I wasn't 193.
He looked well over 200 pounds. Not saying he was, just saying he's a big, big guy. And we said that leading up to the fight, like the size difference in these two is crazy. So you got to give Canelo respect for that. And we do. I think we give Canelo a lot of props on our show. We just want that damn Benavidez fight.
It's what everyone wants.
I've been saying it for 18 months. It's a fight that the sport actually needs. I think it's really important for that fight to go down.
Yeah. In terms of the Robesi rematch, I love Rafael Espinoza a lot. Fight.
I do too. I rate him really high. He might be my top at featherweight. Honestly, I've been very impressed with him. The guts that he showed in the Robesi fight, and then the technical superiority and power that he showed in his last fight, he's a real problem for anybody. Huge. Man. Oh, I met him at the Munguia fight. He's gigantic. I was looking, I'm eye to eye with a featherweight. It was crazy. Like, he is so big.
Yeah, he's really good. I wish they would have fought sooner, because there was like that was like one of the better fights of, was it 2022 or 2023?
Well, they both, I don't know. I don't necessarily agree, Dan. I think it's okay that they fought at this point, because they both had spectacular wins their next fights. Robesi had that highlight reel knockout that's going to go down career highlight KO with that uppercut. But also prior to that, KO looked amazing. Amazing. So he's firing on all cylinders right now, which he's going to need it against Espinoza. But man, I think Espinoza gets it again.
Yeah, they fought December of 2023, which I thought was an awesome fight. Espinoza was knocked down in the fifth. Ramirez was dropped in the 12th.
Showed amazing heart. Amazing heart.
When is that fight? When are they fighting again? Is there a date?
I think it's going to be December.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, that's a great fight. Great question.
Ready for that one. Ready for that one. Okay, we got one another here.
Hey, guys. This is Miles from Indianapolis. Big fan of the show. I was wondering, if there was a rule that you would change, add to, or take away from boxing, what would it be? Would it be adding more rounds to women's championship fights? Would it be adding another judge or taking some away? I was just curious about you guys' opinions on that. Once again, big fan. Thank you guys for putting out a great product.
Thank you. We talked about this last week. 3-minute rounds for women's boxing.
Yep.
Start with there.
I think 10 threes for championship main event women fights.
I like that. Judging, I don't like adding another judge. I think it's hard enough to find three good judges. Now we're going to find five good judges.
Right.
I understand the logistics of it. Like, let's have five judges and then find the best, or seven judges, which Suleiman wanted to do. Six or seven judges and then weed out the worst scorecard and go with the three best. I understand what they're trying to accomplish with it.
I do too. But when you understand the corruption of the sport, and then it's just now we're not paying three guys, we're paying six. You know, or we're not paying two out of three. Now we're paying five out of six, four out of six.
It might make it harder to pay off one judge. Now I got to pay off six of them.
Yeah, well, that which is funny to me that governing bodies would bring up that idea of bringing in more guys. But then you just like you said though,
the talent pool is so small for judges. So.
It's like an old boys club. I know there are some women judges too, but it's literally the same names.
Well, that's
going
that's
around
saying.
To the same cities, yeah. And they never have to answer anybody. They never have to talk to anyone. They have the top amenities.
There's no teeth that ever can bite them if they do anything wrong. There's right. No accountability whatsoever.
It's probably one of the better gigs. I know they don't make that much. I think they make like eight. Actually, it's not bad. I think they make
but they make a lot. They make a lot in under the table deals and hookers and hotel.
Oh damn! I didn't know that. Didn't know about that,
guys. I'm joking. This is all hearsay.
Wink, wink.
This
wink.
Is all hearsay and joking. And
he doesn't look. For those that are listening, Chris looks pretty serious when he said that. Not joking. Any other rules?
The replay, which is starting to actually become a thing.
I mean, the fact that that's not a thing in 2024, like, what the frig, guys? Like, we're in blah, blah, blah. We don't have replay. Guys, like, it's very easy to have replay. So I think that should be in every single state. Like, we're starting to put fights in these obscure states.
One outside of the ring one, I think if you get busted for anabolics, anabolics, you should be banned for life.
I mean, I will.
Because it changes your tissues. Like, if you get busted for a diuretic, it's okay. You get your ban, whatever. You get tested for something like, you know, EPO or something like that that's going to, you know, affect your ability that night, but isn't necessarily going to change your tissue for the future. I understand bans, a year ban, 2 year ban. I get it. If you're changing your tissue with an anabolic steroid and you're using a high powered anabolic, you should be gone for life. That changes your the mitochondria in your cells. It changes your bone tissue. It changes the strength of your tendon strength, your bone density, all of that. You're out for life.
Gone. I mean, every other sport. I mean, you look at cycling.
Yeah,
you're banned. You're out. You're gone.
Meanwhile, they all do it anyway. But
right, I think they have like 4 year bans. And that's a sport where you're not punching the other person in the face.
Mm-hmm. You're not punching brains.
Another one, I would get rid of 4 round fights. Talked about this in the last show. Hate them. Possible. Hard to win. Just throwing it out there. What else? How about the same day weigh-ins? Would you like to go back to those?
No. I think they're really dangerous.
What about rehydration clauses? Or rehydrate?
I don't like them either. I think they're dangerous.
Excessive rehydration?
I don't think excessive rehydration really helps anyone at a higher level. I think you only see the disparity at lower level stuff. You know, the worst was when you looked at like Arturo Gatti and Joey Gamache. That was probably the highest level where you saw a huge weight disparity. But there's argument that Gatti actually didn't even make weight that night. And I think Gamache's team sued the New York State Athletic Commission. I believe he got a payout on that too. But rarely do you see it. We saw it when Canelo and Floyd when they fought, right? Canelo was functionally 15, 16 pounds heavier than Floyd. Didn't matter, guys. And that's what I mean about the highest level. At the top level, championship level, you gain all the weight you want. It's actually going to slow you down. It's not going to make you better. So I don't have a problem with guys gaining a ton of weight in fights. Because I don't think it aids them that much.
I got a rule.
I mean, look at Berlanga. He barely won a round against Canelo.
No, yeah. I think it's up to you. Like, if you want to gain that weight, go ahead. Yeah,
if you want to be a tank and you're going to take more punches all night long, okay. But you're not going to be light and fast and be able to win. So,
I got a rule. I'm going to ban rappers from walking fighters into the ring.
Good one.
Because in the history of it happening, which is quite often, I never hear the words. It never syncs up. I can't hear what you're saying. You just look bad, and it zaps all the energy out of the room. Berlanga had someone rapping him into the ring, and it was horrible. And it was like, man, this is your ring walk. This is the ring walk of your career, and it sucked. So no, get rid of that. And banning
mariachi bands though. Mariachi bands.
Oh yes.
A-okay. A-okay.
There's no singing.
No.
Just boom.
Boom! It's energy. It's sound. It's that one works.
In fact, I'd say every card has to have a mariachi band on tap.
We got a mariachi. We have a promotional like mariachi band
in house.
I like that in house promotional mariachi.
Under the same ilk, Sweet Caroline band. Never want to hear it again.
Oh. I mean, the UK is gonna be pissed. But
do they actually like the song?
Man, they play it nonstop.
Or they're just so wasted that they just sing it. I think that's.
Oh, I'm going to Belfast. We're working with the Conlon brothers. They got a promotional company, so I got to talk to them yesterday. They're very cool guys.
Dude, Mick Conlon, I have such a soft spot for him. He was one of the first guys to come on my show, and we became friendly. Love that guy to death. Love him.
He's awesome.
His brother too. I love the Conlons.
I told Mick, I was like, I know you're still fighting, so I'm not gonna have any pints with you. But Jamie, I'm having some pints with you when we're in Belfast.
Is Mick still? He's still.
Yeah, he's fighting in December, I believe. Yeah.
I know that's been a tough go for him lately. Yeah. And
well, he even said it himself. He goes, you know, I'm an exciting fighter. He was like, and he kind of laughed. He was like, too exciting. You know, I don't like to be in exciting fights, but I tend to always kind of be in them.
He started off being, you know, more of a cautious fighter. That Lee Wood fight was straight up out of a movie.
That was hard.
I remember talking to him the next day. You know, he was sending me like voice notes, and I was obviously pretty distraught because I'm a big fan of Mix. And he's like, I had it, Dan.
Yeah.
I was this close to being a world champion. It was brutal to hear him say that in those voice notes.
That's boxing, bro.
It was fucking brutal, man. All right, here we got another one.
Hey, what's up, Dan and Chris? It's me, Jeremiah, from Ventura, right next to Boxnard over here. I had a question for the two of you. If you had to build your perfect boxer out of today's active fighters, what criteria or what would you take from each fighter that's active? Like, who has the best right cross, like best jab, attributes? Best head movement, best power, best speed from every active fighter today to create the perfect boxer? That's my question for you guys. Thanks. Love your podcast. You guys are my favorites. All right. See you guys. Bye.
Love that.
I got a quick answer. Terrence Crawford.
All down the line.
Just everything. Just he's the best fighter in the world. Just Terrence Crawford.
I put together something here. I got Shakur's defense. I got Canelo's head movement. I got Bivol's jab.
I would say Canelo's, like, his counters off his head movement, because he's a vicious counterpuncher and he does it off a very explosive head movement, which is different than just defensive head movement.
I would say Gervonta's hook/power. What else? Other attributes are there? Defense, head movement, jab.
Chin Canelo.
By far.
Yeah,
Maybe Inoue's fast twitch.
Yeah, his twitchiness.
Usyk's heart.
Yeah, good one.
Usyk's motor. Like the fact that this guy in the 10th through 12th round just steals your soul. Is there an attribute for that? Soul stealing? I'll go with Usyk.
The soul taker.
Soul taker. That should be his nickname.
It's actually Tim Zhu's nickname.
I love Tim Zhu.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I was hanging out with him in Vegas.
Yeah, I never hung out with him. I got to meet him. I wasn't really hanging out.
He was on the set that we were on. I was doing those hits for DraftKings, and he was coming on to do an interview with Custer.
He's not that tall, right? I thought he was way taller.
Not that tall. And we watched the Plant McCombi fight, pretty much the whole fight, just me and Zhu, like, watching it from our area. It was pretty cool. He was rooting for Plant. Speaking of Crawford, real quick, did you see this? Crawford and McGregor.
I did see that.
Rumored to fight each other in the ring and in the cage. And Crawford just shot it down so fast. And he also had one of the funniest quotes about he called McGregor.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's been doing that. He called Errol. He called McGregor.
Dude, this is so. Think about this conversation. They offered me the fight, and me and Connor got on the phone. I just told him, I'm not getting in no fucking octagon with you. You could be kicking me and elbowing me and shit. He was just laughing, like, man, I respect that, but we'd make a shit ton of money. Sometimes it's not about the money. I can make money, but you ain't about to be kicking me, dude. Just imagine that phone call. Can you find two more different personalities than Terrence Crawford and Conor McGregor?
I'm surprised that Terrence could even understand McGregor.
Mate, we can make so much money here. Mate, we should make so much money. But listen, I ain't getting kicked. Like, that's hilarious.
Listen, bro, I am not letting you kick me.
You're not about to be kicking me and elbowing me. I don't care how much. I wouldn't even make that much money. Like, no one's begging for a McGregor Crawford fight.
McGregor still believes that he is, like, a prime time guy. Yeah.
Here we go.
Hey, Dan and Chris, this is Edward from Houston, Texas. Enjoying the podcast, doing great work. I love it. Just thought I'd throw in a little fantasy matchup just to switch things up. I don't know, most people remember Shane Mosley for the later part of his career, when he fought the likes of De La Hoya and so forth. But at 135, he was a beast. And I'm just curious what your guys' take is on him and Tank Davis at 135. Thank you.
Wow.
First of all, I thank you for putting respect on the 135-pound version of Shane Mosley, who was fucking phenomenal. I used to love watching Shane at 135. Just so dynamic, so aggressive, so explosive. Just so much tenacity, too. He's a very different fighter at 135 than he was at 47. He wasn't he was a power puncher, but he broke you down. He wasn't like – he didn't load up like he did in the higher weight classes. But tenacious as hell. I remember the Philip Holiday fight. You remember that fight, Dan?
Yeah.
Philip Holiday. I think was he South African? I think.
Yep.
Philip Holiday. Good champion. Good champion. And Shane just ate him up, man. He just had a different gear. But Gervonta.
Gervonta Davis for Shane Mosley at 135. Well, I don't know, man. Where are you leaning? Because, like,
I'm leaning Shane.
I think I agree.
His chin's
I think
awesome. Gervonta,
I think Gervonta Davis's power is generational. Like, it could go
for sure.
Any generation, he would be a problem. But
dude, Shane fought punchers at 54.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Not only that, and like the banking of rounds and like we've
seen Davis,
the
aggressiveness. Yeah, I got Shane.
I could see Shane banking rounds, and I could see Shane not getting caught, like smart enough and wise enough not to get caught with something late.
Dude, he was so twitchy at 35, man. So twitchy. He'd be really hard to hit. Yeah, I got Shane. I got Shane.
Him going,
and again, his chin was good enough.
Yeah, 135 right to 147. You know, he didn't.
He had a couple. He actually, if you look at his box rec, I think he did have a couple.
Now.
That were like kind of like dipping his toe in the water, and then right to Oscar. He didn't fought no one near that level, and Oscar.
Yeah, it was the money. It was the, you know, number one versus number two in the pound for pound rankings in 2000.
But that also shows you Shane's mentality, where he can squeak it out like he did with De La Hoya. Like he was just like, you know, twitchy and scrappy enough that he could, like you said, bank rounds and get to the finish.
Yeah. Let's get to this one here.
What's up, guys? Long time listener, first time caller. My name's Paul. I go by T-Ball Paul online. Shout out to Dan for answering some of my DMs on Instagram. He always provides excellent insight. But my question was, could you explain what a purse bid is? I feel like it's the last concept of boxing that I haven't really grasped yet. If you could just explain what a purse bid is and why a fighter gets involved in one, and that would be great. Thank you.
God bless you, Paul, for trying to keep up with boxing and trying to learn the intricacies of this weird-ass sport. And purse bids are very weird.
Very weird.
I guess purse bids are like when two organizations are forced a fight where it's not a voluntary defense, and you have two promoters coming together with an arbitrator involved that sets a price. Or no, it doesn't set a price. There's a blind... It's like a silent auction.
Yes,
sorts, right?
Silent auction. Yep.
Chris, have you been part of a purse bid?
I have not. I have not. Because generally when I was fighting, I was with such a small promotion that it was called a provision of service. So I would be my service as a fighter was provided to the bigger guy who was actually hosting the show, whether it was Top Rank or PBC or Matchroom. So when I fought on those cards, you know, my promoter was basically a shoestring promoter working out of a gas station. So so when
pretty
we fought
much,
on
that's
major,
pretty accurate. It's pretty spot
yeah. When
on.
we fought on all my major fights, we fought on the other fighter's promotional company. So that's called a provision of service. So the service was actually me as a fighter. It's when you have two kind of promoters who are, you know, unequal standing, and they're trying to figure out who's going to get it. So then you go to purse bid and you bid. Whoever bids the higher number gets it and is able to host the show. And then it becomes a provision of service for the smaller promoter or the lesser, the one who didn't win, essentially.
I would say the most famous purse bid, Paul, is was Teofimo and George Kambosos.
Yeah. So
Teofimo's signed with Top Rank. George Kambosos is with Australian promoter and DiBella Entertainment. Kambosos wins a mandatory fight,
and also the purse bids go in the open market, so like any promotion can jump in.
That's crazy. So Teofimo's the champion, and Kambosos wins a fight against Lee Selby to become the mandatory challenger. So they have X amount of days, Top Rank and DiBella and all them, to make the fight. And if they can't make the fight on their own, it goes to a purse bid where anyone could bid on it, like me and Chris could put all of our life savings in and put together that fight. We could win the bid. And you don't know who else is bidding against you. You don't know the price. You kind of know. There was rumors of them airing this purse bid. There's rumors of purse bids being aired for the nerds out there to see it. Like, it would
be
pretty damn cool.
It'd be like a reality television. That'd be awesome.
Right. Cause you know, there's this joke out there that Matchroom always loses the purse bids. You know, for that, Teofimo Kambosos fight, Triller famously won the purse bid. It came out of nowhere.
They doubled everybody else. They threw
in
so much
money. Fight on. Remember?
Yeah. Yep.
Matchroom had to come in.
That was a really bad situation.
They defaulted on their purse bid, and Matchroom came in because they were the second highest bid, and they ended up putting on the fight.
I think Triller came in with like 5 or 6 million. Something crazy.
I remember Teofimo like celebrating it, and a lot of people were like, "Are we sure that's ever going to happen?" Mm-hmm. Here's the last one.
Hey, Dan and Chris, this is Will from Tallahassee. Second time, long time.
People are from all over. This is great.
In opinion, which division is the best currently in the sport? I feel like 135 is probably the easy answer between the big four with Tank, Loma, Shakur, Zepeda, and then younger guys like Keyshawn Davis. But I do feel like 126 flies under the radar pretty heavily. Guys like Espinoza, Robesi, Venato, and Angelo Leo, my personal favorites. Appreciate y'all. Keep up the great work.
Great question.
Great question. And I think we talk about featherweight quite a bit on our air. We also love that. You just went through all the guys. You know, that's a great weight class. Definitely one of the best in the world. I really like light heavyweight right now. Throwing a different one because we, you know, with the entrance of Benavidez and Morrell Jr., you know, obviously we've got our two top guys. We've got Beterbiev and Bivol. But Buatsi, I mean, he looked awesome his last fight. And I really rate him high. You got Anthony Yard, who's a ton of fun. And he's a really tough fighter. Vozdik looked good against Benavidez. So you know you got some talent there. Yeah, you got some talent. And I think that we can actually make those fights happen. So that's another sneaky good division, I think.
135 definitely has the names, top four names. 175 has some names as well. 126. Doesn't have the biggest names, but it's probably the deepest division. Yeah. I think best bang for your buck right now, names and deep, is 154. Terrence Crawford, mm-hmm. Errol Spence looming around. Madrimov, who got his name elevated with the Crawford fight. Fundora, Ortiz, Tim Zhu. Boachuk, Jesus Ramos, Charles Conwell.
Boachuk really put himself into the mix, too.
I mean, this division is loaded. Stacked. With names
stacked,
I would say
old
it's
guys, young
best.
Guys. Yeah, that's most bang for your buck. I agree. 54 is definitely the one.
Heavyweight.
Heavyweight's good. Cruiserweight's really good.
We see Billiam Smith really good. Versus Zerto Ramirez.
I think Zerto's really good at cruiserweight. I really fancy him at cruiser.
You know, weight class sucks right now. Welterweight.
It's welterweight and middleweight are barren.
Which was the two glamour divisions.
I know. Glamour, historically significant weight classes are both that.
Brian Norman got hurt, and he is not fighting in December.
Oh, so, no.
Yeah. More just bad news coming out of welterweight. That is our show. Great voicemails. Unbelievable job from our callers.
Our listeners
great questions.
Awesome.
Great insight. Love that. No jerks. No, like, weirdos. Love that. So keep
real
on
boxing fans. They're real boxing people.
Real boxing people
aren't those jerk-offs you fight with on Twitter. Real boxing fans
Goofy train?
Are the people who listen to our show.
You're damn right. Call us, 631-403-8. Oh, excuse me. Let me say it again. 631-403-0859. You can call at any time and leave your thoughts, opinions, hot takes. We'll be doing this a lot more now that I figured out also how to play them properly. I don't have to do it through my phone. I figured something out on my own today. Very excited about that. All right, Chris, enjoy the weekend. On Monday on ESPN Plus, Fight Life premieres. And you will see my face. I am in that series.
Do we have to? We're tired of seeing your face, Dan. Jesus.
I'm in it, baby. Apparently I'm in
we
it
like
a
hearing,
lot.
We like hearing your voice. We're tired of seeing your face. You can
apparently,
be anywhere, but...
I'm in that a lot. I've heard from the producers that they used me a lot in that one. So first nice. Episode is Fury Usyk. I saw an advanced cut of it, and it's really, really fun stuff. It's like behind-the-scenes footage that you'll never see weaved in. It's like 24/7 with fight footage and, like, insight. It's really, really cool.
We need more long-form stuff in our sport because we really got away from that.
This is really good stuff. I'm not just saying it because I was on it, but they have Teofimo episode, an Inoue episode, Taylor episode based around his fight. There's some Sinisa Estrada episode. It's really good. It's about 6 or 7 episodes. Check that out on ESPN+.
Top Rank does quality stuff, so I'm sure it's going to be great.
It's going to be awesome. Have a great weekend, everybody. If you're going to play some bets, use with DraftKings. If you're going to order fights, use PPV.com. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs unless you want to tell us about a big win that you had over a young opponent in Belgium.